From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Thursday is the day we read from your email.
And our coverage of the situation in Cuba has been a hot topic in our inbox.
Mark Linksey of Franklin, New Jersey was impressed with yesterday's program. He writes, both the gentleman from Cuba and the gentleman from the U.S. group, who felt it was their duty to make sure they looked out for Cuba, were extremely stubborn and wouldn't give straight answers. The interviewers did a tremendous job continuing to press them and refuting what they said.
Stephen Avis of Honeydew, California, had a different reaction to my interview with Ricardo Alarcón, president of the Cuban National Assembly. Avis writes, your relentless pursuit of when Raúl Castro might address the Cuban public was very inappropriate. The temporary passing of presidential authority to the vice president in the United States has occurred numerous times without great fanfare. I am sure the same is true in other countries. Why such a huge deal for Cuba?
This week we featured a series of stories on protecting children from violent or sexual content in the media.
Listener Rupa Kramadadi has an 11-year-old boy, and she says she was impressed. It's disturbing that our children are not allowed to be just children, she writes. They're pushed into adult things well before they are emotionally ready. If enough parents ganged up, we could make a difference and change what our kids are exposed to.
Miles Lynch of Bloomfield, New York, says he enjoyed our series, but he writes to take issue with one of the stories. He writes this, the focus of this story, as with so many stories like it, was on sex. Certainly exposure to sexuality is a concern, but to me, violence is at least as important, if not more so. Hearing the child describe a scene in the video game Grand Theft Auto was disturbing, not because he described the nude pole dancers at the strip mall, but rather because he was so nonchalant in his comment about killing them.
A number of you were not very accepting of our remarks yesterday about the temperature here in our studio. Introducing some tape of people working out in the boiling hot temperatures, we mentioned that it's pretty chilly in here.
Well, a number of you were shocked that we would sit in an icy environment while the power plants crank and the grid strains.
I was dismayed, writes Lynn Johnson of Essex Junction, Vermont. Considering the number of stories NPR does on conservation, I think it's time your organization walks the walk.
And Jesse Buff of Washington, D.C. feels the same way. He writes that it makes him wonder why, in the face of power outages, NPR is not doing its part to conserve energy, not to mention our membership contributions.
Well, we take your point about being frugal, Mr. Buff, and we talked with our building staff. They tell us our studios are kept between 72 and 74 degrees, so the equipment we need to broadcast doesn't overheat.
We have a few corrections to make today. First, yesterday we were mistaken when we said that our Daniel Shore was the first to interview Fidel Castro on American television. It was Edward R. Murrow.
There was also a mistake in our review of bad Brazilian music yesterday. The singer Leandro died 8 years ago of cancer, not in a car crash, as we stated.
And our other correction involves this piece. In an obituary for music scholar and punk rocker Deacon Newlin, one of our guests incorrectly said this music was written by Schubert. Well, Jackie Linder of Dorset, Vermont, was one of many listeners who wrote to point out that it's actually by Rossini, his Cat Duet.
Well, the late Deacon Newlin gives it quite a performance.
If you want to know what you think, good or bad, you can write to us from our webpage. It's npr.org. The link Contact Us is at the top of the page.